Yo, what up, what up? Top of the Top, episode 158, Stash House Podcast. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. This week's topic's gonna recap, man, get my thoughts on All-Star Weekend. Also, the midway point of NBA season, so I'm just refresh y'all memory on the standings right now. And some wrestling news, man. We had a huge, huge business decision happen. Cody Rhodes, AEW. Gonna talk about all that, man. So sit back, relax, enjoy episode 158, Stash House Podcast. Let's get it. Yo, what up, what up? Episode 158, Stash House Podcast. Your boy Tyler checking in. First time listeners, appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you tune in weekly, salute. And just an episode, saw some topics you may want to hear about. Salute to you as well. Like, share, subscribe, retweet. Whatever you do to help support the podcast, I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Hope everybody been safe, man. Had a great week, a great weekend. Stay safe, positive vibes. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Continue to do the same this week, man. Get your business handled. All that good stuff. First off, man, we're going to start with the All-Star Weekend this past weekend in Cleveland. So we officially at the midway point of the NBA season. All in all, the All-Star Weekend, I'll say it happened. That's the best way I can describe it. Easily for me, the highlight of the weekend was seeing the NBA 75-year anniversary team, the players, top 75 players in the league. It's crazy the NBA only been around 75 years too, man. So they still very, very young in that aspect. Of course, some players were missing, unable to attend. And of course, some players passed away. Once again, always, forever, man. Rest in peace to the boy Kobe Bean Bryant, man, the greatest. So that part was tough to see, man. But all in all, the weekend, it's nothing you can really change about All-Star, man. First Friday, if I could say some things to change, it'll be the participants, of course. Like Friday, the celebrity game. And I do want to shout out to Quavo, man. Shout out to Quavo. You know why? Because Quavo put me in the mind of the person who, when you growing up, you know, we watch these shows, we love these sports, these players, these teams, and he just put me in the mind of somebody like, man, I'm at the point in my life where people know me, they know my music. So if I get a call to say, hey, Quavo, we got Super Bowl tickets, can you come to the Super Bowl? Hey, we got All-Star Weekend, can you do this, can you do that? And we'll give you tickets to all the events. Yo, can you come to the wrestling event? Can you come do this, do that? And he always there, man. So I do got a shout to Quavo because I think Saturday he was at the mock draft. Like, it was the wildest thing ever. Like, they just did this shit to kill time. Where you drafting the top 75 players for the 75 team. And I'm like, fam, why is Quavo here? But at the same time, he a young man living his dream. And that's what he put me in the mind of. He had the celebrity game. So I do got a shout to Quavo, man. Whatever that he feel like, you know what I'm saying, he rocked with UGA football, Atlanta Braves. Bro, always there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure he get a bag for it. So you can't be mad at that. So I do want to shout out to Quavo for that aspect. But the celebrity game, I didn't see it. For one, they need more celebrities that names just come off. Like, I can think of at least 10 rappers alone who I see on Instagram shooting basketball that I'm sure they wouldn't mind playing. I don't know if they get asked and they turn it down. I'm not sure what the whole deal is with that, but they can get some Instagram people, get fucking, what's Shawty's name? Who was there? I'm about to say Amanda Seals. Not Amanda, Tiffany Haddish. You can get Tiffany Haddish. You can get multiple people, man, men and women, to make the celebrity game more appealing, in my opinion. Saturday, the skills challenge. I like the way they did the skills challenge. It reminded me of the old ways, how they used to do it. They had three rookies. They had three players from the Cleveland Cavaliers, which were the hosting city of All-Star Weekend. And they had the Antetokounmpo brothers, Giannis and his two brothers. Now, moving forward, they can do the same. They can have three rookies. They can have three players from the hometown team. And I think they can do like three WNBA players, three retired veterans who can still, you know what I'm saying, move around. So I like the way they did the skills challenge. Three-point contest is going to be the three-point contest. We know that. The dunk contest, probably the most critiqued thing of All-Star Weekend, rightfully so. And I get it. I've been saying it for years, man. There's only so many dunks you can do. Only so many dunks you can do. We want this player. We want Ja Morant. We want LeBron. If Zion ever just get in shape to play basketball again, we'd like to see Zion. But this year dunk contest, the reason why it was so bad, it was so many missed dunks and so many attempts. It wasn't necessarily the dunk, because the guy from Houston, the rookie from Houston, he had a few dunks where if he would have made it the first time or the second time, it would have been something. You know what I'm saying? But it was just so many attempts, so many stopping in mid-air type of things going on. It was just bad. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they show him walking out. Wayne and Lil Baby laughing. Shaq just in disgust watching it. I'm at home. I'm like, fam, how many attempts do they get? Like, I think the only dunk that went in the first attempt was the last dunk of the entire contest by Obi Toppin. And even Obi Toppin, I've seen him in some games, some highlights of him dunking, and I was like, okay, clearly he may win. But at the same time, I'm like, fam, it wasn't, like, the creativity could have been better from some people, but for me, it was mostly the missed dunks and the 1,000 attempts that made it so uneasy to watch, in my opinion. That's what it was for me. Ja Morant, come on, man. You can't turn down the dunk contest. Then the next night at the All-Star game, you jumping out the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it the whole, well, we don't want to risk injury. But then the next night, you just doing all type of alley-oop dunks and all that. So, yeah, the dunk contest, man, when it was like, it came to the point where you thinking with basketball mind, like, okay, this person got a 36 because he made none of his dunks. So all you got to do is just do like a little regular 360 dunk and you win. That's what it was. It was like, okay, it came to the point where I'm like, fam, just do what's necessary to end this damn competition because it's not entertaining. It was not entertaining. I saw people where the commentary made it more than what it was. The commentary was right on point, man. We were trying to do everything we could to get excited. Dude putting on Timberlands. I'm like, okay, I understand they heavy shoes, but for a dunk contest, that's not going to move the needle. You know what I'm saying? So dunk contest-wise, man, I mean, I understand Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb. It's a lot to live up to. Jason Richardson, it's a lot to live up to. But at the same time, man, you got to, like I said, few of the dunk attempts look like it could have been something, but just too many missed dunks and too many attempts. So that's what it is for Saturday. Sunday, the All-Star game, entertaining. You got the best players in basketball playing, so you know you're going to have high scoring. Steph Curry, record 16 threes in a game. That's just ridiculous. With Steph Curry, man, it's just different. It's just different when it comes to Steph Curry, bro. When you shooting shots, I don't think y'all really grasping this. For me, I've been just astonished with these basketball players shooting threes and they make nothing but net. That still just gets me. I mean, growing up, that was like an old nothing but net. They do that shit like it ain't nothing nowadays. So that always gets me when it's nothing but net. But when you got Steph Curry shooting and turning around before the shot even go in, knowing that it's going in, and then it goes in. You know what I'm saying? It just, like I said, man, Steph Curry, man, it's just different. LeBron hit the game winner. All-Star game going to be the All-Star game. Like I said, 75-year team, seeing all those players, even seeing Tim Duncan on the screen, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird. Shout out to the Boston Celtics, man. Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. They did take a picture together. You know, they got history with each other. They took a picture together. Michael Jordan showed up good off the cognac. Jordan pulled up like he just came right when his name was called. Like he just walked in the building. Like, oh, shit, I'm late. And Jordan pulled up. Jordan's going to be Jordan. I saw a video going around. He messing with Luka and Carl Anthony Towns. And somebody quoted saying, yeah, man, that Kobe situation really changed Michael. Because old Michael, I'm sure Michael would have showed up, you know, if Kobe was still alive. But seeing him interact with people, Dennis Rodman, Magic Johnson, the young players, and all that, you can tell it's like, okay, You know what I'm saying? Allen Iverson. You could tell everybody like, okay, man, Kobe passing like that. We got to acknowledge each other, embrace each other as much as we can while we still got time, because anything can happen at any given moment. So that was dope to see all the players, old, new, the future stars. That was dope to see. That was easily the highlight of the weekend for me in terms of All-Star, man. But now, like I said, we are at the halfway point of the year. So I do want to just refresh everyone's memory of the standings right now in the East and Western Conference real quick. Out East, we got Miami Heat and Chicago Bulls. They say they tied for number one right now, but I think the Miami Heat holds that tiebreaker, if I'm not mistaken. So in Miami Heat, we know in the bubble, they went to the finals last year. They got put out the playoffs early. And this year, man, them boys some dogs down in Miami, so they always going to be in it. Eric Spoelstra, named top 15 coach of all time. You got Pat Riley still in the organization. So when you put dogs, mixed with Eric Spoelstra, mixed with Pat Riley, you got a shot. Chicago Bulls, everybody expected them to be in the mix this year with the moves they made in the offseason. Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan were both all-stars this year. So we're going to see how they path play out. Philadelphia, like I said last week, they just made the trade to get James Harden over there. So we'll see how that plays out once he comes in the mix. Joel Embiid, like I said, probably the front runner right now for MVP. Fourth, easily probably the most shocking team of the year, if you want to say, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They hosted the All-Star weekend. They had several players participating in All-Star festivities over the weekend. We'll see how that play out. You know, the old turn used to be where this team is young, they're not experienced enough in the playoffs, but I think we've seen within the past couple of years, like, okay, it means something, but at the same time, you never just know. So we got to see how that play out. Fifth, Milwaukee Bucks, reigning champions. They're in the mix still, so they definitely going to be in the mix when it comes down to playoff play. Boston Celtics, probably the one team that had up and down seasons within the past few years. They're number six right now. Number seven through number 10, this is for play-in tournament situations. I don't know why I always thought it was the seventh seed to the 12th seed. I don't know why I always thought that, but it's the seventh seed to the 10th seed that has play-in tournament possibilities. As of right now, number 17, Toronto Raptors. Toronto been kind of quiet this year, too. I don't know, because, you know, they still under pandemic rules up there with the fans and all that. But I rarely even see or hear about Toronto Raptors. But they won the chip a couple years ago with Kawhi. So, I mean, they're a winning team. They know how to win. Fred Van Fleet. So, we're going to see what Toronto does. The Brooklyn Nets, man, of course, like I said last week, they got the trade. Ben Simmons, Seth Curry. We got to see what Kyrie Irving situation going to be like. Kevin Durant situation. He didn't attend All-Star Weekend. Prayers to his family. They said KD lost his grandma the same day, I think Saturday or Sunday of All-Star. So I know that was tough on him. So, you know what I'm saying, prayers for him and his family. But we'll see what the Brooklyn Nets have to do. They got some great role players. They stepping up. So we got to see how that play out. Number nine, the Charlotte Hornets. LaMelo Ball, man. LaMelo Ball. Definitely been balling. Rookie of the year last year. He was in the All-Star game. Let's see if he can lead these boys, man. Charlotte, should they back by Michael Jordan also? So we'll see how that goes. Number 10, the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta Hawks, we expected more from them, being that they had so many people coming back. They traded Cam Reddish to the New York Knicks. The Knicks also a team. The Knicks are number 12 right now in the East. They're definitely a disappointment so far. But Atlanta Hawks, man, they got to get it together. They got to get it together. But as of right now, I mean, they look like number 9 and number 10 for real. They can go back and forth with Charlotte, because I don't see them jumping a lot of these teams. They 9.5 games away from top seed right now. Yeah, they back and forth with Charlotte at the moment. You know what I'm saying? I think Brooklyn Nets are going to get it together. So they'll probably boost up, but very, very tight in the East in terms of the first seed to the fifth seed. As of right now, the fifth seed is tied. The third, fourth, and fifth seed are tied right now. 2 games, 2.5 games behind. Like I said, that first to the fifth seed is definitely cramped up right now in the East. So we'll see how that goes. Out East, out West, we have the Phoenix Suns. About six and a half games right now, first place lead. Chris Paul will be out, I think they said, for about 2 months, 4 to 6 weeks, I believe. So that's going to be a bad time for them to lose Chris Paul heading into the playoffs this last stretch of the regular season. But at the same time, it's a great chance for them to figure it out without Chris Paul. You know, of course, Chris Paul is the point guard. He can orchestrate, do what he do on the court. So I think this is a good time for Booker and all those guys to be like, okay, let's see what we can do without him on the court. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing for him to go to the bench for a couple minutes. It's another thing where he's not going to be playing for about 2 months. So if they can get that tightened up with Chris Paul being out, then when Chris Paul come back, it won't be a situation where it's like, how can we fit him back in? It's like we never lost the steam. So we'll see how they play out without Chris Paul on the court, man. I think that's the thing. Of course, Chris Paul probably was the head honcho, the leader in that playoff run last year. So we'll see how they operate without him on the court for this time being. Number two, Golden State Warriors. I keep telling people, man, I told y'all last year, 2 years ago probably, just give Steph Curry about 2-3 more people. While Klay was out, Draymond being out, just give Steph Curry somebody to roll with for a minute. And you see how it play out. They're number two right now in the West. Probably everyone's, if you hating on this team at number three, I don't know what to say. Memphis Grizzlies, led by Ja Morant, man. I forgot what my boy Kendrick Perkins called him. Not the dark course, the dark side. The dark side, Memphis Grizzlies, man. They definitely got a culture down there in Memphis. So Ja Morant, we'll see how that play out the rest of the year. Of course, one team that's always in the mix in the West, number four, Utah Jazz. We got Dallas Mavericks at number five, Denver Nuggets at number six. Number seven, play-in situation starting to begin. Number seven, Minnesota. Number eight, the Clippers. Number nine, my Lakers. Number 10, Portland Trail Blazers. They just traded away CJ McCollum. He's in New Orleans now. So we'll see how it goes with Dame out in Portland. Y'all know my thing been with Dame in Portland. I don't think he's leaving. And my only reason to say he's not leaving is because Portland is the home of the Adidas headquarters, where he's signed to. That's the only reason why I think he's staying. Other than that, he could probably just pack his bags and leave whenever, probably. But I think Dame is going to stay for the time being. So, midway point, man. The teams that we think in the midst are definitely in the midst in terms of seeding. Now, we're talking about how many games ahead and games behind. That's a whole different ball game. But in terms of teams, I think we got a good grasp in the East. I think my biggest disappointment in the East is definitely the New York Knicks. And my disappointment out West, I won't even call them a disappointment. I seen the writing on the wall, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. It's my Lakers, man. And I can go on and on about my Lakers. But I think the first game back after All-Star break would be Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Thursday night, we should be back with the NBA season. Halfway point, last stretch of the year. We'll see, man. We'll see how the playoff run look. Yo, new week, new playlist, man. This week playlist, my favorite, Rap City in the Basement Freestyles, man. Legendary show, a show I grew up on. Gonna give y'all some of my favorite freestyles from In the Booth, man. Make sure you guys check it out. Big Tigger, what it do? All right, so in some wrestling news, man, I want to give out some congratulations to start Ring of Honor, which was probably the top independent organization for a lot of years in wrestling. I think they just shut down operation for a certain amount of time last year. I don't know what the deal is. I never was big on the indie scene when it comes to wrestling. I think the most indie I probably got was old TNA. But they had their first Hall of Fame induction, where they announced their first Hall of Fame inductees. Within the past couple weeks, they had the Briscoe brothers. I'm not too familiar with them. They had CM Punk, Daniel Bryanson, who's Bryan Danielson now, and Samoa Joe. So that's their first four inductees, the Briscoe Brothers, CM Punk, Samoa Joe, and Bryan Danielson. So salute to those guys. In WWE Hall of Fame, the first inductee for this year, the great, the legend, Undertaker, probably the greatest character in professional wrestling. And we just talking what he meant coming out when he first came out, how he was the phenom and how he just scared kids to the American Badass to his last stretch with those classic matches at WrestleMania with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Easily top 10 and some people's top 5. And for me, any given day, my top 5, any given day, easily top 10. And Undertaker is definitely some people's favorite wrestler of all time. And it's long overdue, but I know you got to retire, officially retire and all that. Easily first ballot Hall of Fame, but you had to wait till he retired and all that. So I get it, but easily, I think they had a poll saying who should induct him. I think it should be Kane, of course. Of course, Kane got to be involved. I think Vince McMahon should say something. And I'm going to be mad at Shawn Michaels. I'm going to be mad because him and Shawn Michaels had two legendary matches at WrestleMania. I'll take Shawn before I take Triple H probably, but I'm going to be mad if it's like multiple people talk about him. I mean, his career is just that legendary. I don't think one person could just, you know what I'm saying, say great words about him. Mick Foley, throw Mick Foley in there as well. So salute to The Undertaker, man. Finally, you know what I'm saying, finally. And I'll definitely be tuned in to that speech and hear what he got to say. But the biggest news, man, in wrestling this past week, I'll be lying if I said I saw it coming. I did not see this coming. Cody Rhodes supposedly is not official yet. Supposedly is making the jump from AEW back to WWE. If you don't know, years ago, he was in WWE. He didn't like his new gimmick. I think his family and the McMahons had a situation. So he left. He did the indie scene for a few years. And 2 years ago, him, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, along with the Khan family, started AEW's The New Revolution. And within that time period, within these past 2 years, Cody has openly taken shots at WWE. You know what I'm saying? The first big show, Double or Nothing, he took the sludgehammer, you know what I'm saying? Smashed the throne. That was a shot at Triple H. Different promos throughout the years, he's taking shots. So for Cody to do this jump, I mean, it come down to money altogether. Supposedly the situation with AEW was he was a VP or executive producer, something like that. I'm not going to joke. When it first came out, I think I said it on the podcast, I thought that was their company. I wasn't thinking about where they got the money from, the Khan family. I thought it was Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, and Cody Rhodes' company. I thought that for the longest until Tony Khan started talking more. And I think he's the son of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, of course, that's where the money coming from. And Tony Khan started talking more. So that's how we know, oh, okay, he's the real, if you want to say, the Vince McMahon of this company, if you want to say that. But supposedly, Cody wasn't getting the right stories and to put matches together. And to be honest with y'all, like I said about AEW, so many people involved. I don't see how he could. I mean, he could book some matches, but you got AEW Dark, you got Dynamite, you got Rampage, and you got so many wrestlers within these shows. It's like, okay, I would feel him if he like, damn, I can't book a match. I can't set up a storyline with, not his own, but for other people. You know what I'm saying? Working behind the scenes like I'm sure he wanted to do. Like, he got shows on TNT and everything like that. So I'm sure he wanted to do some behind the scenes work, but I guess Tony Khan wasn't allowing it. And they made it public that his contract was up. They had a storyline going on about his contract. And it just came out, yo, him and his wife Brandi, they leaving. And then immediately everybody just came up, yo, WWE, he's supposedly going to meet with the people down in Connecticut. And it is what it is. Then I saw a report come out. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say, yeah, Cody relationship with the Young Bucks was always business, but they always talked. And they said him and Kenny Omega just only talked about business. So, and if you know Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, like, they close. Like, if it was Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks going to WWE, I'll be shocked. Cody Rhodes, I'm shocked, but I'm not too shocked because he still has some ties over there. But if it was Young Bucks or Kenny Omega, I would have been like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? I think they said Cody wanted more money. But at the same time, man, when you bringing in CM Punk, when you bringing in Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, when you bringing in these people from WWE that's bringing in another audience, of course they're going to get paid more. When it comes down to it, it's all about the bag. And I'm sure Vince is like, okay, how much are they offering you? Oh, well, I'm offering you this. Come over here. And he probably got in his contract where he's only participating a certain amount of matches throughout the year and all that. Maybe, but we shall see. And I don't know if it's the best move for him to go back to WWE for the bag. Okay, you get a bigger bag over here, but at the same time, AEW, you might have could have just waited a little bit longer. And who knows what could have happened behind the scenes. But with WWE, you might just get thrown into the wolves and thrown into the fire. You probably come back hot, steaming hot. We don't know how the fans are going to receive him back in WWE. Of course, AEW, they haven't made it public on the show yet, but of course, everybody sees it on social media. So we shall see how that goes. But we'll see how it play out with Cody. I think Cody's going, not his sister, his wife, Brandy. I don't think she's going. I think she probably just, you know, play her role privately in his life. She's not going to be on air like she was on AEW anymore, I don't think. But we'll see, man. But that's a lot of trust from both sides. For Vince, and I'm sure he probably talked to Triple H maybe about it. But like I said, Cody been taking shots at them throughout the years, man. And for Vince to put his pride aside and say, okay, you can come back, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to be thrown into the scene that you want to be thrown into, because you got Roman, you got Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Matt Riddle. You got a lot of people you got to wait for, bro. The Miz. It ain't like you just going to come in and, oh, you straight main event. So I'm interested to see how it's going to play out, how they're going to debut him, if he even signs, how they're going to debut him, when they're going to debut him. We'll see about that, but it was definitely a shocker to the wrestling world that he was leaving. But like I said, I was shocked, but I would have been way more surprised if it was like Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks, because they got like a personal issue with WWE. But like I said, Cody, I guess come down to it, man. Money talks. You know what I'm saying? Money talks. So we'll see how it play out. I definitely keep my eye on it. With WrestleMania and all that coming up, I wonder what AEW is going to do about it if it becomes official. I'm sure they're going to take some kind of shots in a promo or somewhere. If it's AEW, they're going to take some shots some kind of way. So we'll see, man. We'll see. But that was definitely something that rocked the wrestling world throughout the week, man. I've been watching different videos, seeing different reports about what happened at AEW and all that. And I understand Cody's side of it, man. It's like, damn, I can't get no input on what's going on. Damn, y'all ain't gonna pay me. I already put it on myself on television. Like, I can't challenge for the heavyweight title no more. So I understand, man. But we'll have to hear about it later on. I'm sure someone's gonna do an interview eventually telling us what happened. But yeah, that's the news, man. Cody Rhodes, Brandi Rhodes out of AEW after being one of the leaders of the Revolution, you know what I'm saying, at the press conference a couple years ago and everything. Within a matter of not even 3 years fully, about 2.5 years, man, we see where that's going. We see how that's going to affect AEW. We'll see, man. That's my only comment on it right now, man. We'll see. I want to appreciate y'all for tuning in. This has been episode 158 of Stash House Podcast. Make sure you guys go out. Have a great work week, man. A great school week. Stay safe. Keep me in prayers. I do the same for y'all. Salute.